This is White Sox Weekly, your all-access pass to everything White Sox.
Swing and a drive! Deep to left! Gone!
That was as hard as a baseball can be hit by anybody.
White Sox Weekly on the home of the White Sox, ESPN Chicago.
Now, here's your host, Jeff Mellor.
Happy Saturday to you, my friends out there. We are 5 days away. That is right, 5 days away from opening day for your Chicago White Sox. We're actually 4 days away from the opening of the Major League Baseball season, as MLB will kick things off on Wednesday evening, their first ever broadcast on Netflix, when the Yankees will open up. Surprise, surprise. How about that one? Yankees. Didn't see that coming, did you? But the Yankees will actually open in San Francisco to play the Giants. You know, they were once the New York Giants way back when, so a little rivalry renewed there for Netflix. That's going to kick off Major League Baseball in 2026. And then the following day, your White Sox, my White Sox, our White Sox, Aiden O'Connor on the other side of the glass, his White Sox, they will kick things off against the Milwaukee Brewers on the road to start 2026. And it will be Shane Smith grabbing the pill for the Pale Hose, and he will be squaring off against, officially now, Jacob Mizrowski. Last week, speculated that that was the likely starter. It is official now that the Miz will get the ball for the Brewers. That will be an interesting one. Of course, you would be locked in and watching anyway because it's opening day, but the added element of having Jacob Mizrowski, the youngest ever All-Star in terms of Major League experience. He made the National League All-Star team last year after just five starts. And that certainly, I would say, perturbed some folks out there that a player would get the All-Star nod so quickly into their Major League career without really having established themselves or shown much. But Mizrowski came out and absolutely blew the doors off of everybody he was facing in those first five starts. And probably to the surprise of almost nobody who follows baseball closely, Mizrowski did not carry that through for the remainder of the season. He had some hiccups, lost some of his command and control along the way, and then ended up struggling in most of August and early September, eventually was moved back into the bullpen for the Brewers. But he's got an electric arm, folks, and we're going to see that firsthand as the White Sox open up against the Brewers and Shane Smith gets the chance to throw against his former organization. Of course, the Brewers did not protect Shane Smith. They did not put him on their 40-man roster last season, which allowed the White Sox to make Shane Smith the first overall selection in the Rule 5 draft last year. And the White Sox are certainly happy that the Brewers did so, because Shane Smith was the White Sox All-Star representative last year. And it was well-earned, and Shane Smith continues to build on his achievements in the major leagues by getting his first career opening day start. He'll front the White Sox rotation. Will Venable did announce earlier this week, I believe it was Wednesday when he made it official, the first five starters, the rotation for the White Sox, the first five through, the way that will line up. Shane Smith, as I mentioned, opening day for him on Thursday, March 26th. Remember, that's our first broadcast of the regular season. White Sox, first pitch coming your way at 1:10. I'll have your pregame coverage at 12:30 that day. Again, this week, Thursday. Off day on Friday. That's that built-in off day that Major League Baseball has, so that in the event of rain, you can have a makeup date. Now, rain not a concern for the White Sox, as they will be playing indoors with Milwaukee. But you still need to have the days lined up so that for the next series, for the teams that do have outdoor games, you do need to have three games over that four-day period, that first weekend, to allow for makeup day the next day for opening day, all the festivities, obviously a huge day across the United States where, you know, people love going to opening day. It's kind of a national holiday in your city, whatever day it happens to be. So indoors, but Friday's an off day. Then the White Sox will play the Brewers on Saturday at 6:10 for their second game. Sean Burke gets the ball in the second game for the White Sox. The series finale, which will take place on Sunday against the Brewers, that's a 110 first pitch. Anthony Kay, White Sox free agent signing. The lefty will get his first start as a member of the White Sox. Davis Martin will then start the next series against the Miami Marlins, slated to go on that Monday, March 30th, 5:40 first pitch that night. Again, Davis Martin will take the ball, and then Eric Fetty will round out the White Sox five-man rotation on March 31st on Tuesday, and then obviously the expectation is the White Sox will go back through the rotation at that point. I say expectation because you never quite know early on how teams are going to approach it. Never know if a team might be interested in finagling with a possible six-man rotation. Again, those first couple off days, you don't necessarily always have to do that. But with your pitchers still building up their arm strength and not necessarily wanting to test them all the way through, it's a possibility. So always like to throw that out there. But that's your White Sox rotation. Now, the biggest news this week occurred when we found out on Tuesday that Mike Vassell was unfortunately, after dealing with some elbow soreness that forced him out of his start on March 15th, the Ides of March, they're no longer just bad for Caesar. It's Mike Vassell had a bad day too on March 15th. But and listen, it's a huge blow. Mike Vassell, if you're a Sox fan, you listened to me last year on White Sox Weekly. I think I had him on two or three times last year. And part of the reason why I would invite Mike Vassell onto the show, he's just a great guy in terms of his infectious personality. And, you know, it's not just the way he treats the media. He truly is within, I mean, it's kind of amazing that he was able to establish himself as such a clubhouse presence in his rookie year. And, you know, this in some ways, I mean, if you cover the clubhouse, it might skew things, because I'm telling you, everybody who covers the White Sox is like, that guy, he gets it. He's really cool to root for, and his teammates love him. And I promise you, I'm not being hyperbolic. When I was at spring training in Arizona earlier this year, first thing that certainly popped out at me yet again was Mike Vassell, like, you know, CHSN was doing some, they were recording some stuff for the upcoming season, some player stuff that they were working on. And, you know, they had these fun questions like, hey, if you started a boy band, you know, which five members of the White Sox clubhouse do you think would best fill that role? And I'm not kidding. It seemed like 85, 90% of the answers, the first guy out of everyone's mouth was Mike Vassell. And he's just a beloved guy inside the clubhouse. He really has a positive attitude. And so, you know, it was a bummer when we heard the news that he was going to have to undergo Tommy John surgery. By the way, that surgery will take place on April 2nd. Dr. Keith Meister will perform the surgery in Arlington, Texas. But it was a bummer, not just because the White Sox are losing that Swiss Army knife out of the bullpen that Mike Vassell was, but, you know, I'll be honest. I was like, this is a guy who keeps things loose, and it's going to be, you know, a little bit something that the team's going to have to overcome, because that presence in the locker room, it's nothing I can tell you. I can't give you, you know, a war number, a wins above replacement on what it means. All I can tell you is that he's a good guy, and the team loves having him there. And so I was bummed when I heard the news. However, what did surprise me was to learn that Mike Vassell's teammates, as soon as they got word that he was going to be lost for the 2026 season, you know what they did? They gathered together, they went to Will Venable, and they asked if Mike Vassell was up to it, if it was possible for Vassell to travel with the team this year. And obviously, it probably comes as a surprise to no one when I relay the news that Mike Vassell absolutely said he was up for it. And so when he is, you know, that first, obviously he's going to be undergoing surgery in about a week here. But after that, while he's doing his rehab, he is going to be traveling with the team, because he is such a strong clubhouse presence. And Mike Vassell, when he addressed the media on Tuesday after we got word that he was going to be lost for the season. He talked about the bigger picture with the team, not just his own career.
There's no doubt in my mind that I'm going to do everything I can to contribute to this team. In the clubhouse, if guys need it off the field, just anything I can do. It's still about the guys. For me, just what sucks is I can't be a part of it. But, it's bigger than just one injury this year. It's about the entire roster and what we're creating here. And that's still going to be the mindset I bring every day. So,
again, no surprise to me when you hear that, when you hear that his teammates wanted him to be a member of the team this season. It makes all the sense in the world. It's an obvious one, but that's not something you see that often. You know, a player who's done for the season, who is beloved by his teammates to the point where they request that he travel with them on the road whenever possible, and then the player also agreed to it. But that's, I just think that just goes to show you what type of player Mike Vassell is, not only as a baseball player, but as an individual, quickly has ingratiated himself with his teammates and made himself a pivotal member of that team. So pretty cool to hear that. Again, tough news to lose Vassell, but at the same time, love to hear how his teammates responded. Jeff Meller here on White Sox Weekly here shortly. Kyle Williams, who covers the White Sox for the Chicago Sun-Times, is going to join me here on White Sox Weekly. He has been doing a great job covering the White Sox out in Glendale, Arizona, as spring training does wrap up here in the next few days. Big game tonight for White Sox fans who are locked in on what's going to happen in the future, and that is because it is the White Sox opportunity to participate in the spring breakouts. That's right. A lot of the young players who were hoping to see make impacts in the years to come on 35th and Shields, well, a lot of those players will be participating today for the White Sox when they take on the Dodgers in the spring breakout game. I will talk to you about some of the names we can watch tonight. Connor McKnight's going to be on the call on CHSN where you can watch that one. So we'll talk about that. And also everything that Kyle Williams has learned about the White Sox as he's been covering them in Glendale over the last few weeks. White Sox baseball is back, folks. Join us at Raitt Field for opening day on April 2nd as they take on the Toronto Blue Jays. That's right, the AL pennant-winning Blue Jays. That game's at 3:10, again, April 2nd. For more information and to secure your tickets, visit whitesox.com/openingday. Jeff Meller here on White Sox Weekly. When we come back, Kyle Williams of the Chicago Sun-Times joins me on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago. Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000.
Welcome to White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000.
Enter the Ultimate Fan Sweepstakes for a chance to win one-of-a-kind experiences all season long. Don't miss your chance to win the Ultimate Tailgate. Receive tickets for different Chicago's sporting events. Create your own milkshake. So much more. To learn more and enter today, visit whitesox.com/sweepstakes. Jeff Meller back here on White Sox Weekly. Again, we are now 5 days awake from the opening of the regular season for the White Sox. This is actually the last spring training edition of White Sox Weekly. Next time when we're talking on White Sox Weekly, we'll be breaking down the White Sox first game of the season and previewing their second. And to help me take a look ahead at the 2026 season right now, Kyle Williams, who covers the White Sox for the Chicago Sun-Times, he's out in spring training. Looks like he might be getting ready to leave soon. I know he's been locked in on the NCAA tournament, so glad that, Kyle, we can interrupt your tournament viewing for a few minutes to talk some White Sox. Long time no talk, Kyle. What's going on, my man?
So, Jeff, how's it going? And, yeah, I mean, luckily that first game wasn't that good anyway. So, you know, you picked great timing with having me on. But, no, I appreciate you having me back on. And, yeah, you know, get into the season, leave Monday. I think the last spring training game is Monday, leave Monday night, and excited to get on the roll with this day.
Absolutely. I know I'm finally getting amped up now. It's always weird because spring training, you get kind of jacked when it first starts, and then you get through the phase where it's like, okay, well, what am I watching here? I don't quite understand what this means because I don't know what pitchers are working on. I don't know how much stock to put on, what's going on. So it will be fun that on Thursday things get going for real. But Kyle, I'm curious to ask you, what have you observed from spring training that has actually made you say, that's interesting. I wonder if that's going to carry through to the regular season.
Yeah, I guess I could start, you know, I unfortunately I'm going to start, you know, in a negative lens, but Shane Smith, you know, he hasn't had the best spring. Usually you know, chalk it up to, oh, it's just spring training. But you look at yesterday, and he just had a lot of misses. He had a lot of, like, spraying. And, you know, he had troubles, you know, with his fastball command last year. And I'm just curious to see how he turns it on against Milwaukee. Like, is this just, you know, an aberration? Is this him working on stuff, him just not being in sync? Or is it, like, you know, something that needs to be monitored down the stretch, you know, between that and but on a more, you know, positive note, Austin Hayes. He's had a really impressive, you know, spring training. You know, it's going to stabilize the outfield. And so I've just been monitoring that, like, okay, like, he's not going to obviously, I think he's batting like 340 right now. He won't bat that in the regular season. But can he provide, you know, some extra base power and, you know, 260 average, which he has done throughout his career when healthy. And, you know, the corner outfield spots were a place that Getz wanted to upgrade in the offseason. So, you know, he went out and got Hayes on a mutual deal. A one-year deal with a mutual option. And, you know, whether he's here the entire season, well, whether he's in Chicago the entire season, half the season, you know, he's a good stopgap to have while Brayden Montgomery is, you know, developing in the minors.
No, that's a great point. Kyle Williams joining me here on White Sox Weekly, covers the Sox for the Chicago Sun-Times. Austin Hayes, I liked that deal. Veteran presence, a player who has made an all-star team. He did so too, by the way, when he was working with Ryan Fuller in Baltimore, been reunited now that Ryan Fuller is the White Sox director of hitting. So I think that was part of the selling, you know, process for Austin Hayes when he decided that the White Sox were going to be a good fit. And I think you make a great point is that, you know, having, like, Mike Tauchman was a really solid player last year for the White Sox in their lineup when he was healthy. Unfortunately, the problem for Mike Tauchman, and even though I'll tell you, he, for the most part, you know, was out there more frequently than not last season, he did play through injuries quite a bit. And I know there were moments when you saw him, you know, manning right field and or just on the bases when it didn't look like he could give everything. And so, you know, even though he was a productive player, he was liked in the clubhouse. I think the problem for the White Sox, you know, trying or thinking about the idea of, hey, is, you know, would you want to bring Mike Tauchman back? The problem was you just didn't know health-wise what a player who's already in his 30s could give you, whereas Austin Hayes, who is 30 years old himself now, you know, a few years younger than Tauchman, but also brings kind of a similar type veteran bat. I think that is a bit of an upgrade, as you mentioned there, so like to see that. Another free agent signing, Kyle, I think the bigger free agent signing that White Sox fans are going to be very excited about seeing what he can provide, and that is, of course, Munetaka Murakami. White Sox surprised, I think, a lot of folks around baseball when ultimately they were the ones who ended up being the suitors that landed Murakami. Didn't get to see a lot of him in spring training because he was participating in the World Baseball Classic. But what have been your observations of Murakami and what he could provide for the White Sox?
Yeah, I mean, he, you know, got back, I believe it was Monday he got back, Tuesday played in his first game, and he homered. You know, he just brings easy power. Like, it doesn't look like he's trying to, like, hit for the fences. He just has, like, this such easy power in his repertoire, and he's going to be, you know, one of the linchpins of the lineup. They want to see him get to that 30, you know, homer marker, and Will Venable's been impressed in the way that, you know, he's taken the first base, because you mentioned all of the time that he missed. it's also time he missed away from the team, you know, implementing different systems or different, like, rules that they wanted to work on. So they've been trying to get him up to speed on, you know, the defensive side. But offensively, he's just going to be a guy that is going to power the lineup. Like, the swing and miss is always going to be a concern. It's probably going to be a part of his game. But how much they can really curb that, that's going to decide how successful of a season he has. But, no, I think by all accounts, you know, he's in that that reacclimation process, you know, to whether it's trying to, you know, bond with teammates or create, you know, camaraderie with them. You know, it's still in that early stages, that getting to know you stage a little bit. But I think he has the type of personality that the more and more that he keeps like talking to them, it's going to show up, you know. And yeah, he's just one of those guys that I think he's going to, you know, make his impact felt on the South Side, you know, and it's a 2-year deal too. So like Sox and Mooney don't have, you know, ample time on their hands to see this thing through. But, you know, from all accounts, they've been, you know, pleased with the work that he's done to get up to speed defensively. And then, you know, the power is the power, is always going to show. And he had a productive WBC. So him just coming back physically right, you know, most importantly, was probably the biggest win for the Sox this summer. This spring.
Yeah, yeah. Kyle Williams of the Chicago Sun-Times joining me here on White Sox Weekly. Yeah, I think, Kyle, you're right. Absolutely, it is easy power from the left side, and he's somebody who, you're right, like, there is some concern about the potential swing and miss in his game, but he does have a pretty solid batting eye. So at the very least, even if he's not necessarily going to hit for a high average, I think the on-base percentage should be acceptable. And yeah, it looks like easy 30 home run power that the White Sox are going to have at first base. And, you know, the 2-year deal, from an organizational standpoint, I couldn't ask for much more, right? Like it wasn't a nothing signing, but at the same time, it's not in any way going to, you know, cripple you going forward if Munetaka Murakami doesn't translate. And at the same time, you know, he's absolutely, and I don't think is going to surprise anybody when I say this, but it doesn't, he's somebody who's very motivated, I think, to prove that he is somebody who's going to make an impact in this game. He's also given the White Sox a bit of international notoriety in terms of his presence and how it's going to affect the viewing of the White Sox, you know, internationally in Japan, because we obviously know that Shohei Ohtani is the engine that drives baseball in Japan. But Murakami is a beloved figure in Japan, and he's somebody who at the age of 26, I think the hope is that that power translates and he could very easily become an international superstar that helps kind of introduce Japan to the White Sox. So I think there's, you know, a couple of different motivations for the White Sox that hopefully plays out well this year. Jeff Meller here on White Sox Weekly, talking with the Chicago Sun-Times' Kyle Williams, who's out in Arizona covering the White Sox spring training. Curious your thoughts about the World Baseball Classic, Kyle, because I loved watching it. We're talking a little bit about how spring training, it's kind of hard to understand what you should glean from what you're watching because you never quite know what's being worked on by pitchers and hitters alike. And at the same time, though, we know everybody playing in the World Baseball Classic was absolutely driven and motivated to do everything they could. And it wasn't about trying things out. It was about getting outs or, you know, coming up with big hits. I thought Kyle Teal, Sam Antonacci for Team Italy were making their marks in that tournament for sure. Unfortunately, Kyle Teal ends up suffering the strained hamstring, so he's going to be lost in all likelihood for the first couple of weeks as he'll be on the injured list. But at the same time, I loved some of the things I heard from Kyle Teal talking about the leadership that some of the tips he picked up from someone like Vinny Pasquantino on Team Italy and being exposed to some different major league players. I thought it was all in all a good thing. And maybe I'm rationalizing it, Kyle, but because Kyle Teal's not going to be lost for too long, or we don't expect him to, I think ultimately it ends up being a good thing, to say the least, of what Sam Antonacci was able to prove.
Yeah, you know, I'll start with Teal, and yeah, no, he spoke, you know, very glowingly about just the ability to learn from some great leaders, the ability to perform on a major stage, be in those environments with a pressure-packed crowd and a game that matters. You don't really get that in spring. You know, you mentioned like these Cactus League games don't provide that same juice that the World Baseball Classic does. But no, yeah, and he's, you know, the injury was unfortunate, but it's 4 to 6 weeks. It's not going to, you know, it's important, though, that he doesn't rush back. You know, Kyle, he's a guy who loves baseball, loves being around the team, and he's a catcher, so he's going to use his legs a lot. So, you know, I'm not going to say they're going to slow play him, but it's very important that, you know, he takes his time, goes and is diligent throughout the process, just because, you know, soft tissue injuries can linger and affect an entire season. But, you know, that's where the catching depth comes into play. They have Corey Lee. They have Edgar Caro. So there's the Sox aren't going to rush Teal back, because they have two really capable catchers with Edgar and then Corey Lee supplanting him. And then Antonacci, I mean, what can you say about Antonacci? He kind of arrived on the more widespread stage with Team Italy. And Getz talked to us, I believe it was last week, and he said they spoke glowingly of Teal and Antonacci. And then for a guy like Antonacci, that, you know, participating in the WBC wasn't an easy decision, because he hasn't played above Double A. He hasn't even made his Triple A debut yet. And with the spring he was having, he could have just stayed here and focused on trying to make the big league team out of camp. But he made the decision to go to the WBC. And he said it was a decision essentially that he doesn't regret, just because he got to be a part of just, you know, that environment and make connections with people that he wouldn't have otherwise had talked to. So it's one of those experiences that, like, it sticks with a player, and you want your young players to have that experience playing in big games and in front of, like, you know, crowds that are foaming at the mouth and cheering. And it's just, playing for your country always means a little bit more.
No doubt about it. It does provide that little extra juice. Kyle Williams of the Chicago Sun-Times joining me for another couple minutes here on White Sox Weekly. Kyle, I'm curious, what's the latest that you've heard regarding Brooks Baldwin? I haven't seen an update as of recently. He's been dealing with that elbow bursitis. Looks like it could very likely he may begin the season on the injured list. But I'm curious if you've heard or seen anything lately regarding Brooks Baldwin.
So, yeah, the Brooks Baldwin thing. So we've been asking, I believe he hasn't played since March 6th.
Yes.
In a game. And so, you know, we've been asking Will for updates. It's something that Baldwin said he dealt with last year. I guess the injury kind of flared up when he was throwing. And he's just been kind of shut down. They haven't really provided much of an update. But, yeah, and I would honestly say that no update is the update. You know, it'd be surprising if he went from just not playing the last 2-3 weeks of spring training and just jumping into, you know, opening day in the first week of the season. But yeah, no new update. You know, Baldwin's still been around in the clubhouse and, you know, with the guys, but every time we talk to Will, he's always saying, you know, no new update. And it's one of those things where he's still trying to figure out, you know, what exactly it is, you know, that was plaguing him or what's causing him, you know, that discomfort.
Mm-hmm.
I asked him, is this going to be, you know, a thing that you have to, you know, manage throughout the year? And he said, you know, we'll see where we're at, but he's taking it day by day. And it's just, it's a weird injury, because it, you know, doesn't seem to be a tear. It showed a lot of inflammation. So, you know, once the inflammation subsides, maybe they'll go in and see just like what's causing, you know, this. But until then, you know, is just kind of playing the waiting game, seeing how he feels every day. But I'd be shocked if, you know, he just went and was like in the opening day lineup, example.
Yeah, at this point, it does seem like opening day, not very realistic for Brooks Baldwin. That's unfortunate. Hopefully he can get right, though, and get back on the roster. How about the bullpen, Kyle? That's one thing where, with the addition of Sir Anthony Dominguez, I think the White Sox, and I should say, too, now that officially Sean Newcomb is in the bullpen, it's something that I always expected when the White Sox announced that they had signed Sean Newcomb. I always thought, you know what? Oh, great. That's a nice, solid, you know, move as a bullpen piece. However, when I got to spring training and, you know, talked to Sean Newcomb, he was adamant that the White Sox were going to give him a chance to compete for a rotation spot. Obviously any pitcher in the bullpen, they're all pitchers, right? Like starting as, you know, all the way back in Little League, high school, you know, for those in college, it's one of those things where they're pitchers, and so the idea is always that you want to be a starter. But when you get to the big leagues, a lot of times there's a weeding out process, and if you can't carry that load, a lot of times you can be a more effective pitcher out of the bullpen. So I was actually happy to see the White Sox officially announce Sean Newcomb to the pen when Will gave us his rotation earlier in the week. But the additions they've made with Dominguez, Newcomb, you add that to Leisure and Taylor, along with Eisert, and then maybe a wild card in Jordan Hicks. All of a sudden, the White Sox have put together a viable 2026 bullpen. And by that, I mean they have some legit velocity at the back end of the bullpen with some strikeout stuff that they maybe haven't had in the last couple of years. So I'm excited to see what they can do now that they've assembled what I believe to be a major league caliber bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, how many times last year did you see the team have a lead and then the bullpen just kind of just implode, mm-hmm. you know, and just – And it was just one of those things, too, where, you know, they didn't really have, you know, the bullpen caliber stuff to compete. And just, like, it was just so evident. But then, like you said, they go out, you know, they have Leisure, you know, they have Grant Taylor, who, you know, has probably the best stuff in the organization. Yeah. You add in Sean Newcomb. Like, the only thing, like, the one piece I'm curious to see how they kind of replace is Mike Vassell, yes. him to Tommy John. Because, you know, on the surface, you know, I know the peripherals and underlying numbers weren't the greatest to Mike Vassell, but he just had a way of, you know, getting good results, getting, you know, and pitching in a variety of roles. And I don't think that should go understated. He threw 101 innings last year. So, you know, and this rotation isn't exactly, you know, filled with established big leaguers or guys with experienced track records. So, that Mike Vassell role, how they fill that, who eats those innings. I mean, Sean Newcomb might not be a starter, but there might be games where, hey, he's out there, you know, multiple innings. You know, he's already stretched out. But no, the bullpen is, there's like some legit stuff in the bullpen. You know, talking with scouts out here, they, you know, a guy like Grant Taylor, you know, draws their curiosity just because of his ability, his pitch ability, and, you know, how, you know, the stuff that he has. But, yeah, the Sir Anthony Dominguez, that's probably one of the best, you know, signings that they had this offseason outside of Mooney, just because of you get an established guy, a guy who's not only, you know, just closed games, but also pitched in World Series, I believe the past two World Series. And that type of experience is valuable for a team that's still trying to learn how to win. And it wasn't a deal that was going to prohibit you down the road. You know, it's a two-year deal, I believe, and it's, yeah, this team wants to take a step forward, and the moves that they made this offseason are indicative of that mm-hmm. without, you know, hampering their long-term outlook and stabilizing the bullpen. Even if it wasn't, you know, going out and getting, like, you know, Edwin Diaz, they made moves to stabilize it, add, you know, legitimate stuff, strikeout stuff, so that, you know, they're giving this group at least a chance to win. You know, because at the end of the day, this group has to continue learning how to win. That's kind of been the vibe around camp, is that they don't want to wait, yeah. you know, to win. They want to go out there and win this season. Now, how realistic that is, that's to be determined, to be seen. But you can tell that there's an urgency with this group that, hey, we don't want to hear about, you know, 3-4 years from now. They want to do this immediately.
Last one, Kyle, as I let you go, Kyle Williams of the Chicago Sun-Times joining me here on White Sox Weekly. The spring breakout occurs tonight. It'll be the White Sox against the Dodgers. And, of course, this is where all the highly thought of prospects have a chance to kind of show off their stuff. And the White Sox, for the most part, I'll throw a few names out there and let me know who you're most curious to see tonight. You've got on the pitching side, you've got Tyler Schweitzer, you've got Christian Apor, you've also got, you know, Sam Antonacci, who we've talked about quite a bit here, Caleb Bonimer, William Bergola Jr., and maybe the headliner when you take out Hagen Smith, I should have said him as well, but maybe the headliner here is Braden Montgomery, who might be the best hitting prospect in the White Sox organization. You know, he'll start in Double-A this year. What are your thoughts about what you're looking forward to seeing in the spring breakout game tonight?
Yeah, I would start with, you know, he's a long ways away from making an impact on the major league team. But Billy Carlson,
yeah,
you know, he's a guy. There's like a self assurance to him that I was not expecting from a guy who just graduated high school last year. But he's not cocky, but there's like a confidence about
yes.
him, and so. And, you know, all the scouts I talked to have raved about, you know, his defensive ability, just saying, I really just want to see how he, you know, handles defense in this game. But, yeah, no, I mean, all eyes are on Brandon Montgomery. I mean, when you look at their hitting prospects, he's a guy that, you know, 2, 3, 4 months from now, we could be, you know, discussing, oh, should they bring up Brandon Montgomery?
Yes. And,
yeah, I mean, because, like, he impressed Will, he was very productive this spring, first off, and he impressed Will with just his ability to the hitting, how he took to pre-pitch plans on defense. You know, they want him to work on his left-handed swing. You know, he's a switch hitter. The right-handed swing's probably a little bit more advanced at the moment. But, you know, Brandon Montgomery, they've moved him around this season. They played him in center. He's probably going to find a home in right field. But I would say, you know, he's the headliner. He's the guy that, you know, he's starting in AAA this year. So that shows just how highly they think of him. And then another name, you know, I'll throw out there is like Christian Laporte. Like, he is probably one of the most underrated prospects in that system, just in terms of his athleticism and just like how he just continues to learn and continues to grasp new concepts and everything. And so he's another guy to keep an eye on. But yeah, Jeff, I mean, Brandon Montgomery, he's, you know, is this Cactus League? You don't want to get too excited, but it's never, you know, you'd rather see him be as productive as he was in his, you know, the couple of outings he was out there versus the alternative.
No doubt about it. Kyle Williams, again, he covers the White Sox for the Chicago Sun-Times out in Arizona. He's heading back soon. Enjoy the spring breakout game and have a safe trip back, Kyle. I will see you at Wright Field later this season, my man.
Yes, sir. I see you at Wright Field. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Again, Kyle Williams of the Chicago Sun-Times. Check him out on X. He is at @K_WilliamsMedia. Jeff Meller here on White Sox Weekly. We've talked a little bit about World Baseball Classic, which officially wrapped up with Venezuela winning against the United States on Tuesday. And there's been something floated about changing the World Baseball Classic that I'd like to address when we come back right here on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports is the home of the Chicago White Sox.
This is White Sox Weekly on ESPN 1000. We are talking White Sox.
This is White Sox Weekly.
If you missed the show, we put the podcast up on the ESPN Chicago app. So listen on your time.
White Sox Weekly. ESPN Chicago. Chicago's home for sports.
Machado's 1-0 pitch. Harper sends a fly ball to deep center field. Better late than never. Bryce Harper has tied the championship. Into left center field, headed for the gap, and Venezuela has retaken the lead. And Eugenio Suarez, just like that. Venezuela, the best in baseball.
There was a lot of drama on Tuesday nights, and I have to tell you, in March, that's as good as it's going to get, watching baseball, mid-March, right? To have that type of adrenaline, that type of emotion in a, you know, win or go home situation, that was fantastic theater on Tuesday night. Highlights courtesy of Fox, Joe Davis on the call there. You heard the big moments, Bryce Harper with the game-tying 2-run homer, only for Eugenio Suarez to deliver the go-ahead RBI double, and then Daniel Palencia closing it out for Venezuela. And I don't know, listen, it's still an exhibition tournament here. And immediately after I was riveted by that game, got me about as excited as I could possibly imagine being for baseball again in the middle of March on St. Patrick's Day. I'm pumped and like must see TV for me. And then immediately, it must have been an hour later and definitely the next day. And maybe this is just the landscape that we're living in here, but the reality that people were suggesting that the knockout stage of the World Baseball Classic should be in future years scheduled for the All-Star break, right? And the suggestion was basically, listen, you'll do the preliminary group stage in spring training, and then you can have your final eight teams that make the knockout stage participate in their games over what is traditionally the All-Star break. And the thought process, I guess, is that, okay, now you've got pitchers who will be ramped up, and you can then, you know, what, turn to Mason Miller if you're United States because you don't have to save him for a save situation and can use him. I'm sorry. As a baseball fan, I can get on board with watching my team's favorite players like Kyle Teal and Sam Antonacci play in this game in spring training as they're revving up and trying to get ready for the regular season. I think I would feel far different about my team's players, especially if they're competitive, all of a sudden. And then this is where you get to the pitching. Like, just because pitchers are ramped up and ready to go during the season, I don't want them firing. I don't want them wasting bullets in World Baseball Classic in July over the All-Star break, when it should be a bit of a rest period for some of those guys for that extended period. Now all of a sudden they're ramping it up even more in that situation. I think that's a horrible idea. And honestly, I don't believe that your casual viewers who were locked into the World Baseball Classic because they felt the emotion as it built, like, you're going to abruptly stop it and say, okay, we gave you the group games. Now the regular season starts. And now when the All-Star break rolls around, oh yeah, hey, by the way, you remember the World Baseball Classic? Do you remember the eight teams that qualified for the knockout stage? Well, guess what? They're going to come back at you during the All-Star break. No, nobody in July is going to give a damn about what's happening with the World Baseball Classic when they're locked into regular season baseball. I mean, people were talking, you know, applauding this like this was some revelation and, you know, cure-all to the All-Star break for baseball. It was going to generate some type of crazy interest level. I wholeheartedly reject the idea that people would be more enthused by the World Baseball Classic over the All-Star break in July. And again, I think it's a horrible idea if my favorite baseball team's players get hurt during that period of time in the middle of a baseball season. Ridiculous. I'm sorry. We had fun. It was a good thing. Don't break it. White Sox fans, cover your bases this season with a ballpark pass. For a limited time, get access to 28 home games in April and May for $149. That's right, just $149. Your ballpark pass includes opening day on April 2nd and access to exclusive giveaways that take your fan experience to the next level. To purchase, visit whitesox.com/ballpark pass. We'll wrap up this week's edition of White Sox Weekly right here on ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
White Sox Weekly.
On Chicago's home for sports.
On the ESPN Chicago app. 100.3 HD2 and ESPN 1000.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
On app.
The ESPN Chicago app.
In HD.
FM 100.3 HD2.
And of course on AM.
ESPN 1000.
This is White Sox Weekly.
Score the season's biggest games at unbeatable value with a ticket plan. Enjoy flexible payments, easy ticket exchanges, and exclusive perks all year long. For more information, visit whitesox.com/ticket plans or call or text 312-674-1000. Jeff Meller here on White Sox Weekly. And we're wrapping up the final spring training edition of White Sox Weekly. That's right. Next week, when we join you, we'll have one game officially in the books. And then, of course, because it's Saturday for White Sox Weekly, we'll be getting you set for game number two of White Sox and Brewers. Of course, White Sox Brewers opening day this upcoming Thursday. Yep, 5 days away, folks. Shane Smith up against Jacob Mizrowski in Milwaukee. And then, of course, the home opener the following Thursday. So we're already here. It is basically upon us. Cannot wait. You know where to join us. We're your home of the White Sox all season long. Thanks to Aiden O'Connor for producing this week's edition of White Sox Weekly, and to Kyle Williams of the Sun-Times as well for joining me. As I mentioned, don't forget, spring breakout game later today. Connor McKnight's got the call on CHSN, so check that out. We'll talk to you on Thursday, 12:30 pregame, on your home of the White Sox, ESPN 1000.